Today's shiur begins 14 lines from the top of Daf Lamed. We left off in the middle of a discussion where we had pointed out that our Mishnah that said a knas payment is made for the rape of women that are otherwise disqualified in joining the ranks of Israel through marriage is a Mishnah that represents an opinion that's different from that of several other Tanoim. And in our last discussion, we pointed out that, in the shiur that we had previously, we pointed out that our Mishnah is to the exclusion of the opinion of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona. According to Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona, women whose relations or intimacy with them would result in a kores penalty, there would be an exemption from any financial payment. Our Mishnah said that one who has relations with one's sister, for example, which is an example of one of the kores type forbidden relations, there is a knas payment. So we're picking up now 14 lines from the top with Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona. My taimo de Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona. What is the basis of his opinion that said that when there is a chiyuv kores, there is a financial or any financial penalty is waived. Similar to the way one who violates Shabbos and at the same time incurs a financial obligation, financial penalty, he does not have to pay because he is guilty of a capital offense. So the Gemara continues, my time with the Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona, what is the basis of his opinion that equates, we'll say, Yom Kippur, which represents Chiyuv Kores, to Shabbos, which represents Chiyuv Misas Beis Din? That just like in capital cases where there is a capital violation and simultaneously some type of financial penalty is incurred, we waive the need to compensate on a financial level, so too when one violates a kores penalty and simultaneously incurs some type of financial obligation or penalty, we waive the need to pay. Omar Abai, you notice that we have a special marking, a volcano shape or trapezoid if you prefer, and on the side under the Mivne heading we indicate there's a machlokas Abaye v'Rava b'may taimei de Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona. Abaye represents the first approach, and when we get to Amud Beis, the upper quarter of the page, you see Rava appears in a trapezoid as well, so he gives a different opinion as to what the basis of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona's exemption is. So Abaye says, Nemar osoin bidei odom v'nemar osoin bidei shomayim. In effect, we have a gezeira shava. You find the word osoin in the case of a capital offense, and the posuk referred to, Shmois perek chof aleph posuk chof beis, deals with a case when there is a fight. A fist fight, if you will, between two people, and a bystander is standing there, and it says, in this case, in the Pasuk Chof Beis, a pregnant woman is standing on the side, and the Pasuk says, V'chinotzu anoshim v'nogfu isha horov yotzu alev v'lo yeoson, while these two fellows are fighting, and one of them happens to smite the pregnant woman who's standing by the side and causes her a miscarriage. Velo ye'oson, and there is no death that results. The miscarriage is not considered a capital offense. It falls into the realm of monetary offense. Onoshi onesh kasher yoshiso lo balo isha v'nosan b'flibim. Without literally translating the pasuk is saying that since there was no capital offense, since there was no death that took place, which would have resulted in court execution, there is the need for compensation. So that's on the mischayev benafsho misas beisdin level. We learn from there that if there is no misas beisdin, there's no court execution, then and only then we will impose the financial obligation. So that's Oson Bidei Odom. It also says V'nemar Oson Bidei Shamayim. This is a pasuk in Bereshis Mem Beis, pasuk Lamed Ches, and it features the story of Yankiv Ovinu sending his son Binyamin to Mitzrayim with his other brothers, and Yankiv Avinu expresses his concern that no Oson should befall his son Binyamin. And the pasuk says V'korou Oson, and that's a reference to the thinking, at least right now, is that's something that could happen by a force of heaven. And Yankiv Avinu is afraid that something like that might befall his son. So we continue in the Gemara. Ma osoin ha'omur bidei adam poter min hatashlum. Just like the appearance of the word oson in the context of human inflicted problems, injuries, damages, we say that when there is no capital offense and only then there is money to be paid. But when there is a capital offense, no money is paid. Af oson ha'amur bidei shamayim. So too, when it comes to something that's bidei shamayim, and an example of that would be kores. Kores is a punishment imposed by heaven. Also, poter min hatashlum. Then there would be exemption from any financial payment. As you can see, there's a long bracketed section. The use your bracket length indicator. This takes you all the way to Omid Beis, where Rava gives you his opinion as to what the reason behind Rabbi Nechunya ben Alkona's Shita is. So with that, we'll say the superstructure in place. We featured Abaye's Gezerah Shava Osoin Oson, and Rava will give you his reason later on. Now, we also have a note explaining these brackets on the side where you see the star, matris asugrayim, the purpose of the brackets, ligroim lekach, to cause, shenuchal lirois taimu shelrovo miad achrei hodabaye, so that we can view Rova's reason immediately after seeing Abaye's reason, as we just demonstrated. Besoch asugrayim, hagemora roitzel likboya, within the brackets, we're going to be focusing on the word oson, specifically the word oson that is featured in the pasuk in Bereishis, Perek Mem Beis, pasuk Lamed Ches, that it includes problems or afflictions that come from heaven. So we now continue in the Gemara. Maskif lo Rav Ado bar Avo. Rav Ado asks, Mimai dechi ko mizar luhu Yankiv levonei. From where do we know, or how are we so sure that when Yankiv Avinu cautions his sons, the brothers of Binyamin, al tzinim upachim debidei shamayim ninu, that he's warning them against these ailments, tzinim and pachim, without translating them, they're ailments that are, we'll say, heaven-induced. Dilmo al Arye v'Ganvi dibdei odom ninu. Maybe Yankiv Avinu is simply warning them to take care of things that are under human control, like lions and bandits. So that if you were to except this challenge, we don't have a Gzeira Shava that connects Bidei Odom with Bidei Shamayim. The two words are restricted to the realm of Bidei Odom. So I don't know, I wouldn't have a basis for Rabbi Nechunya ben Alkona. The Gemara responds, Otu Yankiv Aho Azir Aho Lo Azir. Is Yankiv Avinu restricting his cautioning to things that are human-based or under human control and not things that are of that come from, let's say, heavenly sources? Yankiv al kol mili azer. Yankiv Avinu cautioned his sons regarding all matters, whether they're human afflictions, or they are problems that come from above, from some heavenly sources. So the word ason does include things that are bidei shomayim. And now we encounter a new, we'll call this an internal brackets. The note on the side where the double star appears, besoch sograim elu, and notice the length of these. Using your bracket length indicator, the vertical descending dots, you see that this angular bracket continues till the end of the entire bracketed section, till rova. The note says, besoch sograim elu, hagemor makshe al kvi osoi shorav ado, mahu bidei shomayim umahu bidei odom. At this point, we're going to challenge Rav Ado's assumption that sinim upachim represented something that's bidei shomayim, and ariv ganvi represented something that's bidei odom. Both of these points are going to be challenged. Notice we also have a long question marking with numbers, two stages to the question. And on the side, under the nosei, under the topic heading, we've written ma heim hadvarim hanechshavim puranus bidei shomayim uma bidei odom. What are those things that are considered afflictions from heaven and those from man? We're going to discuss arya veganvi, lion attacks and bandits, and the tzinim upachim. Tzinim is associated with, we'll say, ailments from cold, and pachim ailments from heat. The Gemara, utzinim upachim bidei shomayim ninu. Note the arrows that connect you with what was said before. And here we're questioning that. Is it so that tzinim upachim are heavenly oriented? V'ho tanya hakol bidei shomayim chutz mitzinim upachim. We have the following teaching that everything comes from heaven, is heavenly ordained, except for diseases resulting from tzinim upachim. Shenemar tzinim upachim b'derech ikei shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. People who become ill as a result of exposure to tzinim upachim, as we said before, heat, or cold and heat, that's the way of the crooked. Someone who's careful will distance himself from them. That shows that ailments that are tzinim upachim is within man's control. All other kinds of ailments, afflictions, are heavenly ordained. But ailments that result from tzinim upachim, that is within man's control. So it wouldn't be accurate to call or to describe tzinim upachim as something that's heavenly ordained. Furthermore, arye veganvi bidei odom ninu, attacks by a lion or by bandits, are you saying that's something that's within human control, that's called humanly ordained? V'homer av yosef v'chein toni rabbi chiyo. From the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and with that was the cessation of court activity, court executions, we'll say. The Bittul Sanhedrin is the cancellation, the stopping of the workings of the high court. And part of their jurisdiction covered capital cases and court executions. So that even though from the time of the Beis HaMikdash destruction that stopped, now there's internal brackets are for skipping purposes. The language within them is not accurate. The Gemara continues, din arba misos lo batlu. The punishment for sins that ordinarily would have required the four different types of court execution, the punishments still exist, even though they're not administered by the court per se, but these punishments still exist. We'll elaborate on that in a moment, but before that, we go over the bracketed section where the Gemara said that even though Sanhedrin was batel, arba misos lo batel, the four forms of court execution did not cease. Lo butlu. Are you telling me they didn't cease? Ha butlu lahu. We know they stopped. As long as the when the Sanhedrin is no longer in session, so court executions cannot be meted out. So what do you mean that the arba mises lo butlu? Elo din. We're here at the top of Amud Beis. Din arba misos lo butlu. That will be explained immediately. Mishin is chayev, and here you can see we've used a diamond to highlight the four different types of court execution. So someone who committed a sin that ordinarily would have been punished by court stoning. For example, simple case, one who knowingly violated Shabbos and received a warning ahead of time and disregarded the warning from two witnesses. That person is subject to court execution through stoning. But as we said, there's no longer court-administered executions. But what happens when someone knowingly violates Shabbos, let us say, nowadays? What is he subjecting himself to? Oh, no film in Agag. Oh, Chayador Soso. He may fall off a roof. Falling off a roof is similar to the way Skila was administered in court executions. A person was pushed off a height. Actually, it was two human heights and fell to the ground, and that often would have actually killed him. And if not, so then a stone was dropped upon him. That would finish him off. That's Skila. Today, we don't have court-administered skila. However, if someone, as we said, would knowingly violate a sin that carries with it a skila penalty, so this is the fate he might experience, falling off a roof. Oh, chayadrososa means a wild animal might trample upon him and tear him up, which is, as Rashi says, ari ma'pilu l'oretz v'horgu b'drisa. A lion will cast him down to the ground and rip him up. Now, why did we dash underline this? This shows that the Aryeh that we referred to before is something that is heavenly ordained. That means from heaven they will see to it that this violator, this sinner, will get his due punishment. And the Chayadur Soso is the equivalent of the court-administered Skila. But nowadays, no court, so this takes over. And if one wanted to go even further with this idea, think about an auto crash where there's great impact and people are killed in that fashion. That impact type death is a form of skila. Mi shenischayev sreifa. There are sins that are punishable by sreifa, court-administered sreifa. Translated, it would mean to be burnt, but the court burning involved the ingestion or swallowing of molten metal. That's burning out his insides. Now, we don't have that anymore because court-administered executions ceased. However, a sin for which sreifa would be the penalty, what happens nowadays? So, oh no, fil b'deleika, a person falls into a fire, a house goes up in flames and a person dies in that fire, that's sreifa, oh nochosh makisho, or he is bitten by a venomous creature. The venom burns him up, so to speak. Umish nischayev hariga, a person who has violated that type of sin that would have been punished by court decapitation. O nimsar lamalchus, o listin boyin olav. He will find himself nowadays being captured by the government and executed by them, or bandits come upon him and kill him. Notice we dashed on the listin boyin olav. This is similar to the case of the Ganvi we mentioned before, so that you see that it's heavenly ordained. The court doesn't execute anymore, but the sinner will be punished by heaven through bringing upon him these armed bandits that will kill him. Omish and Ischayev Chenek, someone who violated that type of sin that carries with it the Chenek penalty, strangulation, death by strangulation. Nowadays, there's no court. What will happen to that type of sinner? Oh, tove abanor, omeis bisarunki. He might end up drowning in a river or die through a type of strangulation disease, sarunki, also known as askara. So at the end of this long question, we had noted this was the second stage in the very long question, where we challenged everything that Rav Ado had said. Rav Ado originally said Sinu Apachim is called Bidei Shamayim, Aryeh Veganvi is called Bidei Odom. We've just demonstrated that Sinu Apachim, that's Bidei Odom. That's within human power to control, to resist, to avoid. And Ganvi, Aryeh Veganvi, if anything, that's heavenly ordained. Hello, the Gemara answers, Epoch, switch around the original statement. Aryeh Veganvi, that's Bidei Shamayim. Tzinim Upachim, that's Bidei Odom. And just to remind us of the main point from before, Abaye's approach to explaining Rabbi Nechunya ben Nekona was the Gzeirah Shavah of Osoin Oson. Rova Omar, Taimod Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona Mehocha. The reason for Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona exempting financial payment in the case of a kores related offense is derived from the following. We have a posuk. It lasts four lines. It says, "Vim halem yalimu amoret zeseinem mino ishahu besito mizar lemoilech." The posuk describes a father who gives his son over to the molech. The molech is a type of we'll say ancient ritual. It might have to do with some aspect of idolatry, even though that's a debate in the Gemara elsewhere. But one thing is for sure, it's a capital offense. So if the people around see someone giving his son over to the molech, giving his child over to the molech, and do not penalize him, do not execute him, now we've dashed on Vichrati. I, says the Almighty, will cause him to suffer kores. Kores is a shortening of life where one dies and his children die, possibly, but it has to do with something that's heavenly ordained. So in this posuk, we've featured an offense that essentially is court execution worthy, and in the event that they don't do that, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu takes over with kores, and the Gemara explains, Omro Torah kores sheli kamisa shelachem. The Torah here is describing that kores of the Almighty is paralleled to court administered execution. Ma misa shelachem potem min hatashlumin, just like when an offense that's punishable by court execution and simultaneously involves a financial payment, we exempt the offender from the financial obligation. So too, all offenses that carry with it a kores penalty and happen to simultaneously carry with them or impose a financial obligation, I tell you, there will be an exemption from the financial aspect, just like we said, by capital cases that are court executed. My Iko Bain Rava Labai. What difference is there between the Rava explanation and Abaye, who cited the Oson Gzeirah Shavah? Iko Binayu Zar She'ochal Truma. The point of difference would be a non-Kohen who ate Truma. When doing that, the Zar is incurring not Kores, but Miso Bidei Shamayim. It's a punishment that comes at the hands of heaven, death by the hands of heaven. At the same time, when he eats the Truma, he's also obligated on a financial level to compensate the kahuna for depriving them of truma, which is their tithe. Before we go further, let's point out on the side the topic heading, Chiluk bein taimu shel Abaye le taimu shel Rava, bez berdinas Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona. the difference. We're looking for the difference between the reasons given by Abaye and Rava in explaining Rabbi Nachman ben Akana. He know hamikre shel zar shochal truma b'mezid. The point of difference will be that case of the zar, the non kohen who consumes truma, the truma tithe of produce knowingly b'mezid. Shechayav misa b'dei shemayim v'lo kores. That offense is punishable by misa b'dei shemayim, not by kores. There are differences between these two penalties, but for our purposes, it's enough just to cite that it's zar shochal truma is punishable by miso bidei shemayim, not by kores. Another point under discussion in the Gemara: nisayon lahavin be'ezin nesibos abaye omar shazar ye poter mitashlum al achilas atruma. Under what circumstances does Abaye say? What specific practical circumstances is it such that Abaye will say that he is in fact going to be exempt from payment? You can see that according to Rava, Zar Shochal Truma will not be exempt from payment, for paying for the actual Truma that he wrongfully consumed. So now we go back to the Gemara. We had said, what's the difference between Abaye's explanation, which was Osoin, Osoin, and Rava's explanation, who based himself on the Pasuk that compared Misa Bidei Beisdin with Kores, and in that Pasuk that Rava cited, we dashed underlined the word Vihrati. There the word Kores appeared explicitly. The Gemara said the point of difference between them will be an exemption for compensating financially for the truma that was consumed wrongfully by a zar, by a non-kohen. The Abaye Potter, according to Abaye, that offense of zar shochal truma will also be exempt from paying, even though truma consumption by zar is not punishable by kores, it's chayav misa bidei shamayim. So that when you have a heavenly ordained death, that is enough to make it comparable to a court administered execution. Something that's heavenly ordained. Ularava Chayav, the exemption that Rava spoke about before, was specifically for Kores. And he had cited a pasuk where Kores was spelled out. And only Kores is paralleled to court execution, not the other kind of penalty known as Misa Bidei Shamayim. The Gemara now starts a question that lasts quite a few lines. Ula Abaye Potter, and according to Abaye, is that really so, that Zar Sha'ochal Truma is exempt? Now let's take a look at the Rashi, the upper half of the page of Rashi commentary. We have a star to make it easier to find in the Rashi. Ula Abaye Potter Bitmia, and according to Abaye, is Zar Shochal Truma really going to be exempt? Nehi Nami Demisa Vei Shamayim Poteres Mitashlumin. Granted that in theory, Misa Bidei Shamayim, death at the hands of heaven, should exempt from payment. Avol Hecha De Ochil Truma De Gezeila Mi Miftar. But specifically this case of one of a zar eating truma, which involves the theft of the truma, based on what will we be able to exempt him from that payment? At the point that he picks it up, he hasn't even eaten it yet. At the point he picks it up, he incurs a financial obligation of compensation. And even if he doesn't eat it, but burns it afterwards, the death at the hands of heaven, that kicks in later until he actually eats it. Up till now, we've spoken about exemptions of financial obligations when, say, a more serious type punishment is due. That's only when the incurred financial obligation and the more serious chiyuv benafsho, death sentence, happen simultaneously, when both aspects, offenses, happen simultaneously. in the case of Zar Shochal Truma, they're not happening simultaneously. First, the Zar incurs the financial obligation when he picks it up. So at that point, he's chayef, he's obligated. That doesn't get erased. The exemption we spoke about before, just to repeat ourselves, that exemption was only when it was simultaneous with the death penalty, whether it's bidei shamayim or bidei beis din, but not when it's staggered, when the financial obligation takes place first and later the capital aspect figures in. So we now back to the Gemara, where the Gemara started asking Abaye Potter, and according to Abaye, is that really so that Zar Shochal Truma will be exempt? Even Rabbi Nechuni ben Akona, who spoke about financial exemption, will agree begonev chelbo shel chaver v'ochlo, one who stole chelev. Chelev is the forbidden parts of an animal, a kosher animal that's slaughtered properly, but there remain forbidden parts for Jews to consume. Those forbidden sections are referred to as chelev. Sometimes it's translated as forbidden fats, but we can refer to it henceforth as chelev. So Rabbi Nechuni ben Akona concedes that if a person were to steal someone else's chelev, and after stealing it, would then eat it, shu chayav, he has to compensate the owner, he has to compensate him for the chelev, shikvar nischayav begineva kaidem shebali de isur chelev. He first became obligated for the theft, and for the need to compensate for having stolen. That happened before the Isur Chelev, the violation of eating Chelev took place. Alma, we see from here, the Me'idna to Agbe Kanya, from the moment that you picked it up, in the case of the Truma and the Zar, from the moment he picked up the Truma, he becomes Chayev. He Kanya means he acquires it, and acquires it means he is then obligated to pay for it. We mistakenly said, referred here to Truma, rather, regarding the case of Chelev, that Rav Chisda said, Rabbi Nechuni ben Akona exceeds, from the point you picked up the Chelev, you acquired the Chelev, which involves the need or the obligation to compensate for it. The Mischayev ben Afsho, the chorus that's associated with chelev eating doesn't happen until you actually eat it. Well, hocha nami, so too over here in our case of zar she'ochal truma be'idno da agbe kanya, at the point he picked it up, he acquired it and became obligated on the financial level. Mischayev benafsho lo have ad ochile, he doesn't become obligated on the nefesh level, on the life level, the capital level, until he actually eats it. So why would you present Abaye as saying that Zar She'ochal Truma would be an example, a point of difference between Abaye and Rava, where Abaye would say there's an exemption and Abaye and Rava says he's Chayav? Even Abaye should say Chayav in the case of Zar She'ochal Truma. He wouldn't then represent a difference between himself and Rava. The Gemara continues with an answer. Hocha b'mayaskinon. Here, regarding Abaye's exemption from paying, kagoin, and here you'll notice we have triangles on the side of the Mivneh heading. These are deos b'mawa mikrish Abaye yiftor. We're looking for the case involving the Truma and the Zar, where in fact Abaye would say he is exempt. So, and in that, in whatever case we're going to show you, Abaye will say exemption, and Rava, because you're dealing with Yachidas Truma, which is only Misa Bidei Shamayim, so there is, according to Rava, no exemption. So where is the case that Abaye will hold exemption? Hocha b'mayaskinan, kagon shetochav lo chaveru lesoch piv. A person's friend took the truma and stuck it in his mouth. So that, we'll take a look at Rashi. Rashi halfway, a little more than halfway down the Rashi commentary, Shetochav lo chaveru, the lo agba, the lo kanya, the eater of it, he didn't pick it up, he didn't acquire it on a financial level, velo mechayev betashlumen el bevlioso. He would become obligated for paying only at the point that he swallows it. Mischayev demei hanoyas meyov, velo demei kulo. The kula. At that point, he'd be obligated to pay for the pleasure that he feels in eating the food, but not the entire value of that particular amount of produce. Ubahi shaita chiyuv miso nami ika. The point that he's swallowing it, that is simultaneous. That point that he's swallowing, that we just described as the point that, at the point at which he would have to pay for it, but at that very moment he is becoming chayav misa b'dei shamayim. So according to our principle that when the two happen simultaneously, and Abaye equates, according to Abaye, we are to equate misa b'dei shamayim with court administered execution. So this will be the case where he'll be exempt. And why is there the exemption? Because the financial aspect is happening simultaneously with the capital aspect. And why is that? Because we're talking about a case of tochav lo chavero lesoch piv. The Gemara asks, still, they're not exactly simultaneous. Question. Self, but still at the end of the day, kevon delase kanya mischay benafsho lohavi ad debola. We spoke about someone having shoved it into the guy's mouth. Yeah, but he first chews it before he swallows it. So lase has to do with chewing it. At the point that the eater, call him the passive guy, but at the point that he chews it, chews the food, the trumatai food that was put into his mouth, at that point he is kone it. At the point that he chews it, it becomes like his. In other words, he's not going to return that to the person. He's ruined it through his chewing. So at that point, he is said to have committed the theft aspect of it, or the financial aspect of it sets in at the point he chews it. Mischayev benafsho lo havi ad debola, the capital aspect, the death aspect of this incident is only when he swallows it. So they're not happening, the financial aspect and the capital aspect are not simultaneous. If that's the case, why does Abaye suggest exemption? Or why does the Gemara present Abaye in this case as saying exempt? They're not simultaneous. The Gemara says, Kagon, we have to reevaluate the eater in this case. Kigon shetochav lo lesoch beis hablia. The fellow who picked up the truma, he picked it up with some type of a skewer or poker, and he stuck it into the guy's throat. Hey chidomi, here the Gemara gets into a very focused analysis. Ida motzi ladura nahader. If true, it was stuck into his beis hablia, which is in his throat, where it's where a person swallows. But if he could bring it up, the passive guy who's eventually going to consume this, if he could bring it up and return it, adur literally means to return. It means he could bring it up from his throat. Then nahadir, he would be expected to do that. And if he doesn't do that, from that moment, he is financially obligated. If we look in the Rashi, Iboya Lehi Ladura, Vachilo Ahadro, Ahi Shaito Ihu Mazik Law. From that moment, he is considered ruining the Truma. The Rishon Lav Midi Ovad Velo Nischayev Lekayin Klum. The first guy didn't do anything because all he did was he shoved it into the guy's throat, but at a point that the second fellow could have brought it up, could have returned it, and hence, the first guy didn't cause any loss to the kayin. So, if that's the case, where he could have brought it up and didn't, at that moment he becomes chayav in the financial aspect. E lo motzi ladura, if it's so far down into his throat that it was shoved, amai chayav, then why is the eater going to be guilty of misa bidei shamayim? After all, he's honest. He was under duress with regard to the eating of it. Lo tzricha demotzi ladura ayadei hadchak. The case that Abaye would say he's exempt from payment, where is this case where it's shoved into his throat and he could bring it back, but with extreme effort. The Rashi explains, "Aydei atchak, de'inami ahadra." Even if he were to bring it up, mimasa v'lochazi lebailim, it would have been already rendered disgusting, and the original owner wouldn't have any benefit from it. Hilkach migzal lo gosla. Therefore, this passive fellow who's having it shoved into his throat is not considered a thief of it. Amai kom chayvus lebetashlumin. So if he's not considered a thief of the truma, then on what grounds are you considering having him pay? Ahanos grono meo, for the pleasure that he gets by having the food in his throat and in his stomach. Hahi shaita, at that moment, chiyuv misa ika. The chiyuv misa, we'll say the theoretical death at the hands of heaven sets in. So since the payment aspect and the death at the hands of heaven aspect happen simultaneously, there is exemption from the financial aspect. We continue in the Gemara with number two, Rav Popo Omar, Kegon Shetochav Lo Chavero, Mashkin Shel Truma Lesoch Piv. The case of Zar Shochav Truma is a case of some beverage, say wine, was pushed into his friend's mouth. And again, we look at Rashi, Mashkin Shel Truma, V'lo Tidchako Lishnuya Bebeis Habliya. The advantage of Rav Popo's approach is that it's less, we'll say, far-fetched than having someone shove food down into someone else's throat. Elo Mikivan Shetochva L'soch Piv Imasalei. Once the beverage was squirted into the second fellow's mouth, the Tsar's mouth, the beverage becomes disgusting, becomes ruined. V'lo Motzis L'chivei Mishum Gzela D'holo Chazia L'midi. You can't say that on that liquid there would be a chiyuv, obligation on a gezel, on a theft level, because it's not fit for anything. Elanes grono umeyav mechayev. The financial obligation in this case, where someone shoved the beverage into someone else's mouth, would be a payment for the pleasure you have in having it in your throat and swallowing it. Umiso v'tashlumin boyim keachod. Well, it's at that point that there's a chiyuv misa, and the payment, the financial aspect, happens simultaneously, therefore he is exempt from the financial aspect. Number three, Rav Ashi Omar Bazar She'ochal Truma Mishalo V'Kora Shiroyin Shel Chavero. The case that Abaye would exempt for, and Ravana, is a case where you have a Zar, not taking someone else's truma, not stealing someone's truma, but rather it's a truma tithe that he separated from his own produce. So on the produce side of things, there is no financial aspect whatsoever. However, as he's eating the truma, the Gemara at the top of Daf Lamed Aleph says, Korah Shiran Shechavero, he ripped fabric of his friend, Shiroyan, type of fabric or clothing belonging to his friend. At the moment that he's swallowing the truma, which it itself does not generate a financial obligation, but at that moment he also rips his friend's garment. So even though the financial aspect and the misa aspect are not a reference to the same subject, but nevertheless, they are happening at the same time. And the terminology that Rashi cites for this is Misa Lazeh V'Tashlum Lazeh. Nevertheless, even though it's two separate, let's say, parties, that are featured here, the Tsar's own truma and someone else's clothing, but since the offenses are happening simultaneously, Abaye will say that he is exempt from the financial aspect because of the oson gezeirah shavah. Things that are heavenly ordained are parallel to court-administered execution. Rava, as we said before, will say no. In this case, he is eating truma that's not punished by kores. Therefore, there isn't any grounds for exempting him from the financial aspect of things, for tearing the shiroyin, the fabric of his friend, even though they're happening simultaneously.